There are one, two, three scholarship quarterbacks at Ohio State, and wouldn't you know it, that's the exact amount of things that on a Thursday on the beat with Austin and Berm that we talk about. He's Berm. I am Austin. Spring camp been done 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I don't know. I've lost track of time, but if there's any conversation that you have to have about Ohio State and defending the national championship, it starts with replacing Will Howard and how Julian Sain, Lincoln Kienholz, and Tavian St. Clair are progressing and doing so.
Yeah, and Ryan Day, for all of his wrangling and all of the machinations around trying to not name a quarterback, and, you know, we spent a lot of spring wondering how close is it really. Do you, and I do, I'm going to preface this by saying I believe him. When Ryan Day, coming out of spring in his final spring press conference a week ago Tuesday, said that it's a two-man race and he doesn't have any idea who's really ahead, who's behind, do you believe him? Because I do. I think it's actually a dead heat.
I believe that Ryan Day has earned the benefit of the doubt with his words and actions over time. I think maybe the only time that I felt like that wasn't entirely true and I questioned it even a little was in the process with Kyle McCord and Devin Brown, and it turned out that as everything progressed throughout not just that August, throughout that season, like, he was being pretty straight up about guys going back and forth and who was jockeying, which is part of the reason why I've said to you, I got to adjust the way that I view these things. And it's not going to be head-to-head comparisons all the time. And we have five practices that we got to watch in spring camp. And if we were evaluating a horse race, Lincoln Kienholz had the better of it maybe 3 out of 5 times. But that's not really the conversation. And I think Ryan Day's got the full picture, not just of 15 practices, not just of film. Every practice a year ago, the way he evaluated the recruiting process, all of those thoughts. So that's a more complete picture. And he actually went a little bit further a week ago and said, by him narrowing it down to 2 and effectively saying, yes, Tavian St. Clair is going to need a year of development, that adds more validity in my mind, because he could easily say, well, we're going to take it into practice number 16, which is the normal approach, and all three guys will continue to rotate and roll. But I think given the urgency of the situation, if you're not going to be able to name one at the end of April, you still need to be able to maybe eliminate one so that when you get to practice number 16, those two guys are the ones that are vying for it, because Texas has also sped up this process.
Yeah, and we can't go into the summer with having people think that Tavian St. Clair is really in this conversation. So, like, I think we can talk about Tavian and his growth and where he's at.
And we should.
But this is and has been a two-man race from the start. So Tavian, again, coming from small town Bell Fountain, Ohio, small high school, Division III in Ohio, he's a kid that obviously has all the physical upside. And he, more than any quarterback that Ryan Day's ever recruited at Ohio State, got to spend extra time here, extra time learning the offense, extra time learning how to read defenses. Until you get on the field and actually have to do that at the college level against Ohio State caliber athletes, like, none of the stuff that you did beforehand matters. And that's something Ryan Day's talked about at length this spring when asked about quarterback development. The lack of actual opportunity to play 11-on-11 football, I think when you see it pop up in spring for a player as supremely talented as Tavian is, and he is probably the most talented physically in the room between Lincoln Kienholz and Julian Sain and himself, the other side of this game is still what matters way more than anything else at quarterback. And Tavian, for all of the upside long term, like, putting any of that pressure on him now doesn't make sense. So, like, you dive into it with the guys that have been here, Julian Sain, Lincoln Kienholz, and you go from there. And you brought up an interesting thing to me. Part of this evaluation process for Ohio State, especially when it comes to Julian Sain, is abbreviated, because they did not recruit him the way that they recruited Lincoln Kienholz or Kyle McCord or Devin Brown or CJ Stroud or anyone else. Like, he showed up at Ohio State as basically a gift from the Crimson Tide gods.
But they also weren't unaware.
They were aware of who he was as a quarterback, but they, as far as the mental makeup, as far as the personality, as far as how you fit into a room full of type A personalities, I think the Buckeyes were counting on him to be that guy right away. But again, he would not have been here had there not been some serious concerns about Aaron Noland and whether or not he was going to make it at Ohio State. And so the Buckeyes went into last January not even having an idea that Julian Sain could be their quarterback.
Sure.
And now you've seen them with a year and a half to get to know him a little bit, and I think you're starting to see him come out of his shell. But it's a reminder that Ohio State is, like, for big personalities. And Julian, I think is starting to try to craft that, but I don't know that that's something you can just develop or teach. Like, you have it or you don't.
I think that's the most interesting subplot of this group of three, is that you said the most physically impressive, and if you just lined up the three of them, you would point to Tavian St. Clair. Yep. That's got to be the oldest guy in the room. He's got a big arm. He's the strongest. He's the tallest. You know, he's the one you'd point to. And I think in terms of personality, we saw a lot of that come out through Tavian St. Clair being on campus a lot and being at camps in the summer and, you know, wearing the cool shades and all that stuff. And like, he had that swagger to him, where Lincoln Keynholz and Julian St. are both much more reserved. So when we have this conversation about those two, they're going to, the starting quarterback or a rotation between those two, who knows? Yeah. Ryan Day also said they're going to need both throughout the course of the year. I don't know what that looks like, because we've not seen Ryan Day go with a two-man platoon
and
situation.
Nobody wants that.
And I don't think they want that. I'm just saying it has to be on the table. And yeah, that may have been more about injury and not playing them both. Although there is a possibility that one of those guys has a lot more dual threat to him and a lot more rushing ability than the other. And part of, you know, that's a separate conversation, but like, that's a world where you could maybe piece it together in a way that Ryan Day hasn't in the past. I know that that is unlikely to be the preference, but you're not just replacing a senior quarterback with multiple years of starting experience who won a national championship. You're replacing his on-field production and his leadership and the confidence that he, you know, the way that he handled adversity, all of that stuff. That's the complete package. So when you're talking about, you know, type A and the pressure that comes with playing at Ohio State, I think that's where you look at this and say, who's going to handle that better? Because it's going to take, for both Julian Sain and Lincoln Keynholz, them coming out of a little bit of their shell. I'm not saying that neither one can, but they haven't been in that spot yet.
No, and a lot of that is just about the stuff that people see you doing. Ryan Day, again, throughout the spring, as he starts to evaluate these quarterbacks, has talked about his quarterback has to be the hardest working guy in the building. Quarterback has to be the first guy in, last guy to leave. Like, all those little things that are cliches, but cliches exist because they're true, generally speaking. And, you know, Lincoln, coming from South Dakota, is not a kid who came in here too high on his own, you know, farts. And Julian saying that California cool, it's a little bit different. It took C.J. Stroud 3 years to get to that point where he was comfortable being the vocal leader of this team. And for Julian Sain, who came in at the same time Will Howard did, basically, had no real shot to be the guy last year, had to come in and learn not just the Ohio State offense, but the guys in the room, learning Ryan Day, learning how to handle the coaching changes that came with being, you know, you commit here because you think you're going to be coached by Bill O'Brien, who recruited you at Alabama, and then Chip Kelly's here, and all the other things. Like, last year was a whirlwind for everyone, for Lincoln Keynholz, who on December 29th of 2024 or 2023 was basically served up as a sacrificial lamb to the football gods. And then
the football gods shouldn't care so much about the Cotton Bowl
either.
But
they do, clearly. And like, you figure, if you're Lincoln, do you not leave that game going, okay, I got my butt kicked, but it was worth it because now I'm going to be the starting quarterback at Ohio State. And then it's like, actually, here's this guy from Kansas State who is going to start, and you are not going to play at all. This is going to be your development year. Like, that's a tough pill to swallow. And yet he did it, and he hasn't left, and he's competing his butt off. 6'3", 208 pounds, dual threat, does all those things. But then there's like the quarterback, and Julian Sain is like the quarterback.
He comes with the reputation of being created in a lab to play the position, and we all rave anytime we see open practices about the way that the ball comes out of his hand, the velocity, the way that it spins, you know, the accuracy. We talked last August in training camp about the quick processing and how that seemed to be different than even what Will Howard was doing. You know, not that he should be elevated ahead of that, but in terms of like being more advanced with the arm talent and maybe the understanding of the position, you could just see where that was gonna go. And that maybe, you know, Will Howard was going through some of those growing pains. We know how that turned out. It turned out just fine for Ohio State. Obviously, there's a new trophy in there that he helped win. But those things are still all true. I think what was most interesting, again, as I look at this from the perspective of just Julian Sain versus Julian Sain, it didn't look the same on the first 2 days. And it didn't look the same on the Student Appreciation Day scrimmage. And it didn't look the same in the coaches' clinic practice. There were some of those growing pains showing up. And I think that's the part where it's like, it was scaled back a little bit for him a year ago. And you're going threes against threes. Some of the things that you naturally do are going to be able to stand out and shine in a way that won't be the same if you're going against the first team defense and Matt Patricia throwing different blitzes at you. So that's not to say that he regressed, that he doesn't have the talent moving forward, but I think now that's why you, one of the reasons why you saw Ryan Day let these quarterbacks go live in certain situations, because he needed to play football. Even when you are the third guy in mop-up duty against Tennessee or a MAC opponent, like that's still not going to be the truest read of what your potential can be. So Julian Sain has to catch up on that in that regard. And to his credit, by practice 15 in the horseshoe, that's a day where you can unequivocally say he had the best of those three quarterbacks and had the better of Lincoln Kienholz on that day. You know, Ryan Day didn't beat around the bush with that part. It's like, well, late in camp, through practice 14, most likely, didn't say that specifically, like, you know, thought Lincoln was ahead. And Julian had a great day, which I think is encouraging because Ohio State could have been in a position where nobody shined in the horseshoe. And then what do you do? Do you have to go knock on the door and be involved with Nico Iamaleva? And they did not have to do that because they see the potential and they saw progress, not just from Julian Sain, but also Lincoln Kienholz. And you throw in the upside with Tavian St. Clair. They didn't have to make that move.
There's the old adages. There's the backup quarterback is the most popular guy on campus, right? And I think that's proven true a number of times at Ohio State over the last decade plus. But there's also one that isn't really an adage because no one's, it's not like a thing. But I mean, who's got less pressure on their job than the third string quarterback?
Nope.
Like nobody. And it's like move out day here. We're outside of the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. We've seen Seth McLaughlin, Cody Simon, who's been, you know, he should be in Arizona. Donovan Jackson on his way to Minnesota. Like all the old guys are here.
It's almost rookie camp time.
And when you talk about the new guys, when you think about what Julian's saying now going into spring, like there was no pressure on him a year ago. You walk into spring this year, you just won a national championship. You're trying to replace a guy who in 10 months became one of the like most historic leaders of Ohio State football history in Will Howard. And then you're walking into it and everyone's going, oh, you're the quarterback. And because nobody outside of, I don't know, me, said that Lincoln Kienholz had a chance to win this job back in November, December. And I think that there's a real opportunity there. But that is a major change for Julian Sain going from zero pressure like 3 months ago to all the pressure now. Like there is nothing, there's no pressure on Lincoln Kienholz right now. He can just go out and do the thing. No one expects him to win the job. And I think that actually probably plays into his strengths as an athlete because he can just go out there and do athletic things and not maybe retreat too far into the mental side of things. I think that sets up for a really interesting spring for those two guys. And, you know, Julian Sain is the number one ranked quarterback in the country coming out of high school. He went to Alabama. He had all of the accolades. He's the Southern California kid. Like, and now you have to prove it. And I don't like the term gamer. I think that term...
Don't think Ryan Day likes it either.
Is,
said he did a study to prove that it's not real.
Yeah, it's dumb, but like it was obvious that on that spring game Saturday morning, Julian Sain, something happened from what we had seen previous. And I don't know if that was just like maybe he wants the pressure of being in the stadium in front of people. I mean, it wasn't, you know, 100,000 folks, but it was still, what, 40-some thousand? Yeah.
Well, he met the moment. And I think the other part of what you mentioned there in terms of Ohio State and Ryan Day choosing to have these quarterbacks go live, for Julian Sain, that's seeing some live bullets. And I think to get onto the Lincoln Kienholz development piece, that's a situation that favors the dual threat quarterback. You're saying stop thinking as much or thinking that maybe you have to make every throw from the pocket. If you can shake off a tackle, if you can extend a play to the sideline with your feet and then make another throw, we saw him do that in some practices. Like that favors him. That's his skill set. You have to put the other part of it together. Ohio State's not going to abandon the traditional passing attack, and they need a quarterback who can operate both. But we've seen that at other times where it's like, all right, well, C.J. Stroud can do this. You move it outside. Certainly Justin Fields could. Dwayne Haskins. That's a key part of it, too, is being able to do both. I think Lincoln Kienholz is probably better at one thing over the other. That's, I think, the other – if you're trying to simulate the game action, then letting – Lincoln Kienholz evade a tackler and shake something off and make something rather than just being tabbed and you're down, you know, that's helpful for him as well. So all those guys had, I think, the benefit of getting through that in spring, and it worked for both of them.
And I think that there's also something to do when you're rolling quarterbacks throughout spring like you are. Like, it is hard to get yourself some chemistry and continuity with your receivers. And then you go out there in the spring game and it's Julian Simmons out there with the best receivers, and all of a sudden it looks easier. I don't think that.
And against two defensive looks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that that is necessarily a mystery, but there's all these little pieces that have not really been put in place yet because Ryan Day and Brian Hartline and Billy Fessler were trying to get these guys just rolling through and having this exact same number of reps. So we don't really know yet where the ceiling is for Julian Simmons with the starting offensive line, sure, with the starting wide receivers. And the same goes for Lincoln Kienholz. Like, so I don't think that we're really, yeah, we're 15 practices in now to the 30 practice tryout period. But I don't know that we're actually any closer to an answer other than the fact that, as we said at the start, like, this is a two-man race, and any discussion about Tavian St. Clair as being a potential spoiler, I think, can be thrown away.
Do you feel bad about calling this a controversy going into spring camp?
No, because it's controversy, and I love controversy.
But what's controversial about
nothing,
it?
Nothing, but I just think that it gets the juices flowing.
Okay.
No, we knew this was going to be a competition. And again, I think that there's been some assumptions made that Julian Simmons is just going to be the guy, and maybe he will be. He's probably, and we don't have access to their checkbooks to see exactly like who's making the money, but we can pretty safely assume that Lincoln Kienholz is not being paid as much as Julian Simmons to be here, based on his recruiting pedigree and the profile.
Well, if it's even,
I mean, I hope it's even.
Lincoln Kienholz doesn't have the Panini deal, so
right. So I mean, there's that
total compensation favors one,
but like, how far down the path are we to that mattering most? And I don't think that it's a situation like it would have been with Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning or something at Texas a year ago, where one guy's making $3.5-4 million and the other guy is just living on his Panini deal.
Yeah.
Like, these two are pretty even down the middle when it comes to Ohio State's website still lists Julian at 6'1", 203, I think. Like, he's probably taller than that now.
Seemed taller.
But like, when you stack these guys up next to each other, it's pretty hard to find one area based on what we saw, based on what we've seen a year ago to now, like, that you would say, well, this is certainly the guy who's in front. I just don't see that at all anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to put my hand up and say, going into camp, based on the recruiting pedigree, based on where Julian Simmons was in relation to Lincoln Kienholz on the depth chart a year ago, who was getting in those games, you know, just the practice performances that we saw with the ball coming out of his hand, I thought, well, yes, I think it is a legitimate competition, and yes, I think Lincoln Kienholz offers something that puts him in the conversation. But I thought for sure that by the time that the Texas game rolled around, that Julian Simmons would comfortably take that job and be the starting quarterback. So I said that, and I have to own that, but I wanted to keep an open mind about what was going to happen in March and April, and I'm glad that I did. I think that prediction could still wind up being true, but I certainly feel like it is a lot closer to 50-50 than I would have ever imagined.
Yeah, and that's where the recruiting side of things, that's where the NIL side of things, when you look back to a year ago when it was time for the third quarterback to come into the game, like, what was the reason that Lincoln wasn't the guy? And I think it's just because Ohio State was trying to do right by Lincoln Kienholz and saying, you got put into a really bad situation a year ago, and now we want to give you a full chance to develop, a full chance to come in and figure out the offense and figure out how to be a full-time quarterback, because something we've talked about over and over. Lincoln got to Ohio State at the end of May, beginning of June. He had just finished baseball, and then he played basketball. He had never been a full-time quarterback until the last year and a half. And so now I think you saw Ohio State say, we want to give you this opportunity to really, truly develop. Meanwhile, Julian, like, is the five-star transfer from Alabama, has to play.
Yeah.
Like, he has to play, because otherwise he's not going to
There's
be
a
here.
Different risk involved.
Yeah.
And I'd say relieved to have got this prediction right, which is what I said. I don't believe that Lincoln Kienholz, not just a year ago with the development, but also when the decision is made in December and January, what you're going to do, that it was not a four-month conversation for him. It was not you had to get to April 13th and know that you could definitely win the job. The opportunity was going to be there, whether to compete, but also whatever Ohio State allocated for the backup quarterback, he had the first right of refusal to that.
Yeah, he was not going to get that much as a backup anywhere else.
And someone was going to get that money.
Right.
If Ohio State had to go into the transfer portal, they would do that. They weren't going to go into the year with just Julian Simmons and Tavian St. Clair. Whatever they had to do to supplement that, they were going to do. the preference was to do that with Lincoln Kienholz. And I do think that this comes back to the other conversation that Ryan Day was having post-spring, which is these honest conversations, the evaluations. You know, the money piece is part of it. We can't pretend like it's not. But if you're making that decision in January and weighing your options, it's not we're going to come back and have a renegotiation in April. This applies at a lot of other positions, yeah. But most specifically at quarterback. Do you believe in this plan that is development, that is working with Ryan Day, Brian Hartline, Billy Fessler, the opportunity that could be in front of you? Lincoln Kienholz also knows where Julian Sayin is in his practice performance.
He's seen them the whole time.
Everything on film, everything in the meeting room, they know. So do you believe in the opportunity that's in front of you? Are you comfortable with this contract? Do you see the path forward and the vision here? And if it doesn't work out after that third year, okay, well, that happened to Joe Burrow too. So I'm not saying that Lincoln Kienholz is going to be Joe Burrow, not saying that he's going to leave. But all those things had to go into this conversation. And I am like, take a deep breath. Okay, that was right.
He didn't
just make that for 4 months, because that clarity is important, not just in the quarterback room, but for a program that's trying to defend the national championship, this is the most important position.
Is there a different barometer that, or any other position that serves as a barometer better than the quarterback room for how unique the culture is Ryan Day currently has at Ohio State?
I don't think so.
You look around the country and you see starting quarterbacks from playoff teams quitting in the middle of spring football, and then you still
negotiating.
You still see transfers happening now. And the fact that that's not going on for Ohio State, it speaks volumes about Lincoln Kienholz and who he is as a person. But I also think it does talk about the culture that Ryan Day's built here. Not a single scholarship player from Ohio State entered the transfer portal after spring football. And there's still only, to my knowledge anyway, 22 starting spots. And so to have all these guys decide to, hey, I'm going to stick it out and fight, I think it says a lot. But I also I'm curious from what you just brought up. Like, Lincoln Kienholz has watched every single practice that Julian Sayin has had at Ohio State. He's been here from the start. So, like, you know who you're up against. And if he didn't feel like he had it within him to win the job, I don't think he'd still be here. So I think that you have to appreciate his confidence, appreciate his loyalty. But at the same time, I just appreciate guys who want to compete. And that what we knew about Lincoln Kienholz before he got to Ohio State is that that was something that would never be a question about him, because he loves competition.
He does. Seems unlikely that this will be the last time that we talk about the quarterback.
It should be the last time that we talk about until August, though.
It probably won't.
You know, this week you saw the photos circulating on the internet of all the receivers and Chris Henry Jr., Ohio State commitment, and Caden Dixon Wyatt, Ohio State commitment in the class of 26. They're out in California for this quarterback retreat thing, and who was there? Both of them. So, like,
I think they should both go to media days.
I mean, if we're here to give Ohio State advice, they probably should send them both.
I think
you have to send them both or none.
I think they'll probably wind up with none because that'll be a prediction. Another three things Thursday down the road.
Did we talk about three things or just one?
Well, I mean, three quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks.
We talked about them all. I don't know. It wasn't as structured as normal, but we're just getting the rust off. We're getting back into it.
Last thing.
Okay.
What does Lincoln Kienholz need to do between now and August to win the job?
I don't think anyone can win the job in the summer. Not in this spot. I think it goes back to what we talked about. What was the thing that truly set Will Howard apart? What was his extraordinary trait? I think it was his leadership. I think it was his passion. I think it was the communication skills in the locker room, the ability to translate that on the field, be unflappable when things went wrong. There are some ways that Mickey Marotti and, you know, with the limited hours that they can work in the summer, where they're going to be Lincoln Kienholz and Julian Sayin in adverse situations in the weight room and working through, you know, difficult situations and trying to bring out that voice and carry that and get a group of, you know, 85 to 105 Buckeyes behind them and believing that that's the leader and I'm going to follow that guy anywhere. So that can happen. But in terms of, you know, is Lincoln going to become a better pocket passer without pads on in summer? Probably not. Is Julian Sayin going to be able to, you know, take the next step with his arms, legs, or handling the ball security, which is one thing that we know we saw in an open practice that was an issue? Probably not. Like, I think all that stuff does have to wait to August, but you don't have to wait to be in the weight room.
I think one of the interesting subplots to me is that I believe Ryan Day is developing a new appreciation for the non-physical parts of being a quarterback. And I think any coach, especially one who'd been a quarterback, is going to say, well, there's There's off the field stuff that matters. There's characteristics that have nothing to do with the actual between the lines that matter. And everyone will say it and it's cliche, but now I think he's actually realizing it because what Will Howard did for Ryan Day, like, I don't think Ryan Day or anybody will ever truly be able to put it into words. Like, Will Howard made Ryan Day a legend, right? Like, in the main way he did that is not by throwing the ball better than CJ Stroud, not by being a better athlete than Justin Fields, not by being, like, he was just a guy who came in and said, I'm going to take this team and make it mine. And until Julian Sain or Lincoln Kingholtz can separate from the other in that way, I don't think that there's any way we truly know who the quarterback is going to be until the Buckeyes walk out on that field on August 30th.
Yeah, and that's why I think like June and July won't reveal that either. I think it'll be you get out on this field to our right when it's 95 degrees and humid as heck and you have to go...
Big noon kickoff.
No, I mean, not even big noon. Like, I'm talking 9 a.m. against the first team defense with, you know, Matt Patricia dialing up blitzes and you have to go win a scrimmage and move the football. I mean, I really believe that that's going to be... Like, Ryan Day is not just waiting to see that. I think he needs to see that.
Do we love a quarterback controversy? Of course we do. Of course we love it. But as we said all spring, we're not going to evaluate this as constantly being Lincoln versus Julian. Yeah. Lincoln versus Julian. This is Lincoln versus Lincoln, Julian versus Julian, and those two versus the standard of what it takes to be an Ohio State quarterback. And not, well, we can't judge them against each other at this point because we haven't seen enough.
Yeah. The standard, I'm told, is the standard, and we'll
smart.
Get into a lot more of that on the beat. Hey, it's a Freaky Friday coming. Got a lot of different ways that you can get us questions. Send it out there in the comments. 10TV's been posting, our shows there. You can put it in there. You can send it on Twitter.
My DMs are open. It's just at Berm.
DM Berm.
Yeah.
You can send a tweet to me. Whatever. We're going to find it. We want some mailbag questions. We're just going to dive right back into it. We want to know what you want us to talk about.
What are your big questions post-spring?
After a little bit of a layoff. Because we can come up with them on our own, but we'd like to know what you want to hear from us on a Friday version of the beat. This, though, is a Three Things Thursday. All about the quarterbacks. It's probably more than three things. We didn't even number them, but you know what? We'll get back in the flow one way or another. He's Berm. I'm Austin. This has been the beat. We'll talk to you later.